Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. We're now on chapter 5, which is entitled Cast Out of the Kingdom. The objectives of this particular lesson are upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify the biblical passages which list sins preventing entrance to the kingdom of God. You're going to be able to define sins which prevent entrance into the kingdom of God and provide a biblical reference which explains how to eliminate sins preventing entrance into the kingdom of God. Our key verse is going to be Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, as an introduction, in the last chapter, you learned spiritual keys which permit access to the kingdom of God. And this chapter concerns things which prevent entrance into the kingdom of God, and it deals with the tragic reality that some people, unfortunately, will be cast out of the kingdom. So we're going to deal with that now about being cast out of the kingdom. Now, there are many who profess to be part of God's kingdom who are not actually kingdom residents. The Bible speaks of the kingdom being filled with good seed and tares resulting from bad seed. In Matthew 13, starting at verse 38, it says, "The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The Son of Man, Jesus, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be weeping, and there shall be gnashing of teeth." It says, "And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And that's found Matthew 13, 38 through 43. So at the present time, there are those who claim to be kingdom residents who still live in sin. There will come a future day of judgment when God will separate these people from the true residents of the kingdom. Those who are evil will be cast out of the kingdom of God. The Bible also compares the present kingdom to a big net that's thrown into the sea, which gathers many kinds of fish. We find that in Matthew chapter 13, 47 through 50. It says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the goods unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and they shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So the Bible tells of a day in the future when, according to Matthew 8:11, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus warns that there shall be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. That's Luke 13:28. So before the final establishment of the kingdom, God will judge all men, those alive at the return of Jesus and those who previously died. In 2 Timothy 4:1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or alive and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So at the time of the final judgment, there will be a division made between all men. Some will enter the kingdom and some will be cast out. We find in Matthew 25, 31 through 34, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one from another, as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And again, that was Matthew 25, 31 through 34. Gaining permanent residency. Because the Bible reveals some people who will be cast out of the kingdom, it is important to understand how to gain permanent residency to the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, acknowledging Jesus as Lord does not assure permanent residency in the kingdom of God, because Jesus said verbal commitment was not enough. You must do the will of the Father. It is God's will that you repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So, after accepting Jesus as Savior, you must continue to do the will of God. You must live by the principles of the new kingdom into which you have entered. And these principles will be explained later in this course. Now, becoming a resident of the kingdom of God requires more than a verbal commitment. It involves changes in thought and action patterns. You must develop a new lifestyle consistent with the patterns and principles of God's kingdom. And the importance of doing God's will is stressed in a story told by Jesus, which we find in Matthew 21:28-32. Now, you want to read that story in your Bible because it reveals that personal response to the gospel is necessary, but verbal commitment is not enough. You must take action. Sin's preventing entrance. Sin prevents entrance to the kingdom of God because sin is breaking the law of God. 1 John 3:4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, there are many sins identified in the New Testament. In another one of the Harvest Time International Institute courses entitled Foundations of Faith, there's a complete listing of these sins. So, two specific passages identifying sins which prevent entrance into the kingdom of God. And here they are. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We also find then in Galatians 5:19-21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So, some sins are listed in both of these passages, and each passage contains sins that are not listed in the other reference. The following are mentioned in both Corinthians and Galatians. The first one is unrighteousness. The first listing in Corinthians passage states that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Galatians repeats this, that the unrighteous are not heirs to the kingdom. Galatians calls it uncleanness, which is spiritual or moral unrighteousness. Many nations of the world have a system whereby in order to receive, you must meet certain requirements. You must be rightful heir according to the laws of the nation. So, if you're an heir of the kingdom of God, Jesus made you an heir at the time of his death. Through his death for your sins, you gain entrance in the kingdom. But to be a rightful heir, you must first receive forgiveness of your past sins. You must trust Jesus to change your lifestyle, thoughts, and actions, and begin to live righteously. These are the requirements set by the scriptures. The word righteous means to be just, right, and holy. It means to conform to the will of God as revealed in his written word with holiness in thought, word, and action. Righteousness cannot be obtained by obedience to any law. It's only obtained through faith in Jesus. The person who trusts in Jesus becomes the righteousness of God in him. He becomes all God requires a man to be and all that he could never be in himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him." The scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders during the time of Christ's earthly ministry, tried to be righteous by conforming to religious traditions, but Jesus warned them in Matthew 5:20, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus also told the religious leaders in Matthew 23:13, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." So anyone who adopts religious creeds, traditions, rules, or regulations to try obtain righteousness is in the same class as the scribes and Pharisees. Such things are false righteousness. They involve outward conformity to rules rather than an inward change of heart. If someone teaches such traditions are the way to obtain righteousness, then they prevent the entrance of others into the kingdom. The terms unrighteousness and uncleanness are very inclusive. Although all the sins identified in God's word are not listed in Galatians and Corinthian passages, these two terms include all sin. Anyone living unrighteously in any sin will not enter into the kingdom. Note that the Corinthians passage warns, "Do not be deceived. Do not believe you can live as you please and still enter the kingdom of God. It's a deceptive lie of Satan." Next, we have fornicators. Fornication is sexual intercourse by two people who are not married to each other. This sin includes adultery, which is sexual intercourse by a married person with someone who is not their mate. Fornication also includes sexual intercourse between people who are not married. It also includes sexual sins, such as homosexuality, which is sex with someone of the same sex, and incest, which is sex with blood relatives. Then we have idolaters. Idolatry is the worship of idols. This does not mean that the worship of images out of stone, wood, or precious metals. An idol is anything that is more important to us than God. Idolaters are those who practice idolatry and worship something other than the true God. Idolatry is the lack of acknowledgement of God's righteous position in your life. Then we have adulterers. Adultery is sexual intercourse by a married person with someone who is not their mate. Then we have drunkards. In Galatians passage, this sin is called drunkenness. It is a condition of having mental and physical facilities affected by drinking of strong drink, usually alcoholic beverages. The following sins are listed only in Corinthians passage. Effeminate. This not only applies to male who practices lewd sexual sins, but those guilty of sexual sins of the flesh. Abusers of themselves with mankind. To abuse means to take unfair advantage or mistreat. People who abuse themselves with mankind commit wrong sexual acts with others. In doing so, they are abusing their own bodies. Thieves. Thieves are people who steal, and they take things that belong to other people without their permission or knowledge. They are also called robbers. Covetous. When you covet something, you long for it, something with intense desire, wishing you had something instead of the person who has it. You might covet someone's money, property, position, or power. You might also covet someone's husband or wife. Extortioners. Extortion means to take a thing by force, to make someone give you something by exercising power over them. Revilers. Revile means to speak profanely, speak against, or talk back to someone in an unholy manner. The following sins are listed only in the Galatians passage. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is the sin of lust, sinful emotions, lewd, filthy, and shameless conduct. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is a practice of witches, including white and black magic, sorcery, astrology, voodoo, the use of potions, spells, enchantments, and drugs. It includes all satanic practices and worship. Hatred. Hatred is the opposite of love, and it's an emotion of intense dislike for another person. A variance. Variance is a disagreement, a disharmony, and dissension. It is similar to strife. Emulations. Emulation is a desire to copy others and to equal or excel them. It's a spirit of rivalry and a form of jealousy. Wrath. Wrath is a violent anger, an angry act, or a rage. Strife. Strife is quarreling, fighting, or conflict. It means a clash or dispute. Sedition. Sedition is stirring up unrest or discord. Heresies. Heresies are beliefs contrary to the Word of God. They're self-willed opinions which are in error and lead to division in the church. Envyings. Envy is jealousy excited by the success of others, resenting their financial, spiritual, or material blessings. Murderers. To murder is to take the life of another with willful malice and forethought. Murder is not the same as self-defense or accidental killing. Revelings. This means to engage or delight in worldly living, riotous or boisterous behavior. Entrance denied. In addition to the list of specific sins, there are other things mentioned in the Bible which result in the entrance to the kingdom being denied. We have flesh and blood. Paul warned in 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption." So this relates back to the keys of the kingdom that were discussed in the previous chapter. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and you cannot enter it with your flesh and blood body. As discussed in the last chapter, you must make a spiritual decision to enter the kingdom by being born again. We find that in John 3:3 and 5, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 says, "For his entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Lack of childlike faith. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." That's Mark 10:15, and the first one was Matthew 18:3. So it's necessary to become like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of God. This does not mean that you become physically or emotionally like a child, and more than being born again means entering into the mother's womb. It means that you must enter the kingdom by simple childlike faith. If you do not do so, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Next, we have riches. On one occasion, during the earthly ministry of Jesus, a certain ruler said that he wanted to follow him as a disciple. And you can read that story, and it is found in Luke 18:18 through 25. Now, this ruler was a righteous man, but Jesus said, in Luke 18:22 through 23, he says, "Yet lacketh thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So the rich ruler would not follow Jesus because his riches were more important than the Lord. So we find in Luke 18:24, it says, "And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they be that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And that's Mark 10:23 through 25. So Jesus did not mean that riches would keep men out of the kingdom. It's the love of riches that keep men from the kingdom, because 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. So when riches are more important than following Jesus, they prevent entrance into the kingdom. The remedy for sin. If you're guilty of any sin, there's only one remedy. forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That's 1 Corinthians 6:11. So no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're doing in the present, you can be forgiven. 1 John 1, 8-9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's 1 John 1, 8-9. When you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, you are forgiven of all sins which prevent entrance into the kingdom of God. So, pluck it out. Open your Bible to Mark 9, 43-48. In this passage, Jesus teaches that if your hand or foot offends you, then cut them off. He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. We find that in Mark 9:47. It says, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." So Jesus means that anything which causes sin in your life must be removed. Even though it's something you consider needful or precious, it must be removed. He uses the example of the hand, the foot, and the eye. In the natural, these are needful and precious body parts, but Jesus said, if they cause you to sin, it's better to remove them than to let them prevent your entrance into the kingdom. There is nothing, no sin, pleasure, or possession worth the penalty of being cast out of the kingdom. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.